so that we can encounter him in very significant and special ways. That was the case of what happened to me this summer. Thank you, by the way, for those of you who were praying for me while I was gone. As you know, before I left, I had expressed to you a deep sense of need for renewal and refreshment and recharging of my spiritual batteries. And I believe the Lord has answered those prayers and done some deep work in my heart. And I thank you for your part in that. One of the places where that kind of came together very closely for me took place on a mountaintop, literally a mountaintop experience. And I want to share that with you this morning. This morning's message is going to be very, very simple. Those of you who've heard me preach before know that that's not new. That's how I tend to preach. You know, years ago when I was young, I used to pray, "Lord, keep me simple." Now I think he's overdone it. Anyway, this will be a very simple, kind of a one-liner in terms of learning where we're going here. If you want to know what the message is all about, just say these two words after me. In Christ. Okay, I'm going to ask you to say that a number of times through the service, and you'll realize the significance of it as we go. As I mentioned, I was up on a mountain for 2.5 weeks. A family from my parents' church lent me their cottage for that time, and it was just a wonderful break to get away and spend that time completely alone just with God. Very, very refreshing. Actually, I was reacting against my flesh wanted to be with people. It wanted food. It wanted activity. It wanted entertainment. And I find you almost go through withdrawal to come away for a while. But when I finally got quieted enough over that period of time to be still with the Lord, it was a very meaningful time. Something happened during those 2.5 weeks, though, which I'm going to allude to this morning. About 4 or 5 days into my time there, I decided I wanted to go up. I wanted to climb that mountain. The cottage was at the base of the mountain, and I just had this desire to get to the top. And so I set out one morning. I put on my trusty hiking boots and my jogging shorts and a cut-off T-shirt. It was a beautiful, hot summer day, and I decided to go for it and climb that mountain. You know, climb every mountain. Anyway, it was a challenge. I wanted to do it. Have you ever had a desire in your life, a mountain you wanted to climb, a goal you wanted to reach, a passion you wanted to pursue, a desire you wanted to accomplish? Anybody? Yeah, you know what that's like. Okay, so here I've got this mountain before me, and I want to scale the heights. I want to get to the top. I want to experience the thrill, enjoy the panorama and all of that. And as I got going, though, I realized that it's not always an easy task climbing mountains. I haven't done many in my life, and that was definitely a learning experience for me. First thing I came across was pests. I had assumed that being so far up in the hills and the mountains over there that I'd be away from these little guys that have a way of getting under your skin. But I very quickly encountered mosquitoes. You may say, mosquitoes. We're not talking Egyptian mosquitoes. We're talking Canadian mosquitoes. You know, Eagle brand mosquitoes. And these things were monstrous. And I tell you, talk about hunger for blood. It was like some Luftwaffe from the Second World War flying in, you know, and bombarding a little rowboat on the ocean. It was awful. They tormented me. And, I mean, people had warned me that there might experience some insects up there, so I had covered myself in insect repellent. Didn't faze them at all. They would go right through that stuff, suck it up like juice for breakfast. It was awful. It was really awful. Mosquitoes, flies, horse flies, deer flies, anything with wings on seemed to want my blood. It was awful. In your climb up your mountain, whatever that is, have you ever noticed that pests have a way of taking the joy out of your journey? Now, when I say pests, you probably have a name or a face come to your mind. You know what it's like. You know how these things just are constant irritants. They eat at you. They bug you. They prick you. They draw blood. Life can be full of pests. And they can be major irritants, and they can also prevent us from getting to what God has called us to. Those mosquitoes got so bad, quite frankly, that a number of points along my climb, I thought, this isn't worth it. I'm going back to the cottage. But my desire pressed me on. I finally found a place that was free from their hassle, but I'll tell you a bit about that more later. The second thing I encountered in my way up was obstacles. If climbing a mountain were easy, everybody would be at the top. But it's not. Those goals, those dreams, those passions that God has placed in your heart don't just happen. I didn't just want to be on top of the mountain and instantly I was there. No, it was a long, arduous climb. There were huge boulders in the way. There were fallen logs, loose stones, wide crevices, slushy marshes, and wide streams. They seemed to all unite in their attempt to keep me down at the lower levels. Have you ever noticed in your life that when it comes to pursuing God, it seems like everything in life teams up against us to keep us away from that mountaintop? Busyness, pleasure, failure, success, fear, doubt, family responsibilities, all kinds of things, anything and everything is like a huge obstacle in our way to pursue what our hearts desperately long for. When it comes to pursuing God, there will always be these things that, like a tag team, seem to distract us and push us away from what our hearts desire. The next thing I noticed on my way up the mountain was fatigue. Now, in my mind, I still think I'm a teenager in my head. But my body is repeatedly telling me, no, you're not. Like when I play tennis with Randy, or, you know, this thing's getting old and it doesn't have the endurance that it had before. And on that way up the mountain, I noticed repeatedly I had to stop to catch my breath, to rest my legs, to just come around again. Climbing the mountain exhausted me. My muscles protested. My lungs begged. Everything seemed to be screaming at certain times. It's easier to just give up and go back down. But again, I had a desire in my heart to ascend that took me past the fatigue. Do you ever get tired of pursuing what's in your heart? Do you ever get tired of following after God? I do. You know, sometimes Lord, I want to be holy. Can't you just make me holy? Lord, I want to have your peace and your joy and your love flowing out of my life. Can't we just make it happen? Zap me? Can't I just have instant sanctification? Instant holiness? Instant spiritual victory over sin? Why do I have to keep on keeping on learning? Why can't it just be now? I get tired. And that fatigue sometimes keeps us from what our hearts really, really long for. The next thing I encountered on my way up was storms. Or storms can be a preventative in our reaching the top of our summits. About halfway up the mountain, I noticed off in the distance to my right, there was this black cloud seeming just kind of mushroomed together off in the distance. And I saw flashes of lightning out there and streaks of rain coming down. So I'm climbing and I'm watching and I'm climbing and I'm watching. And that thing seemed to be going in a way that it would miss where I was at. But about three quarters of the way up the mountain, that thing seemed to take a turn and head in my direction. And by that time, it was approaching rapidly. And I realized I didn't have time to make it down, and I didn't have time to make it to the top. And what was I going to do? So I began to look. I kept climbing, hoping for some place that I could take shelter in as it moved closer. And as it got quite near, I realized that about half a mile back down the mountain, there was the top of a ski, a chairlift. And it had a covering there, and I figured if I could make it back under there, then I could get at least cover from the rain that was going to be coming and the hail. But that was a half mile down the mountain. I didn't know what was above the next crest, and so I start looking around, and I find a little outcropping in a rock. And so I snuck under there and, you know, snuggled in back underneath this rock and got a little cozy when all of a sudden I realized that before me, the mosquitoes had gotten there. And they didn't want me there, and they made a point of letting me know that. So I gave them the territory and went looking again and climb, came up over this crest. And by now the clouds are really getting there close. And I came up over this crest, and to my delight, about 150 yards away, there was this little shack up on stilts. And so I'm jogging over this uneven territory as the rain is starting to come in, and I duck under this shack. It's starting to rain harder. And then I saw some stairs going up to a door, so I thought, who knows? It might be open. you know, the Bible says, knock and it shall be opened unto you, seek and ye shall find, ask and it shall be given. So I ran up these uneven steps and grabbed the handle and it was open. And I walked into that door and closed the door as that rain just came down in drenches, and as the wind bent the trees over and as the hail pulverized the ground and made it all white, I was so glad I was inside. And as I was there inside that little shack on the top of Big White in Canada, British Columbia, as I was there in the midst of that storm, as I was there without any mosquitoes, without any horseflies, without any more obstacles, without any hail raining down on my head, I remembered the verse, Proverbs 18:10, and began to sing, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into Him and they are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into Him and they are safe." And I felt like that little shack for me was a picture of the name of the Lord. My God, whom I could run into. And the pursuit of my heart, what He's placed on there, I could run in and find safety and security from the storm and from the hassles and from the obstacles and from the pests and from the fatigue and from all the things that wanted to stop me from pursuing what He had placed in my heart. Psalm 18:30 says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him." Psalm 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to Him in song." Psalm 34:8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." In Him. In Him. In Him. When I got back to the bottom of the mountain, by the way, somebody asked me after the first service, "Did you make it to the top?" Of course I made it to the top. You get that far, you don't quit. So yes, I made it to the top, enjoyed the panorama. And when I got to the bottom, the Lord reminded me over the next couple weeks of the powerful truth that I had experienced on that mountaintop. I was safe and I was secure and I was satisfied and I celebrated on top of that mountain only because I was in that shack. And in a parallel way, I and you will only be safe and secure and satisfied and celebrative in life when we are in Christ. That's where it's at. Listen to some of these verses and let them just wash over you this morning. Colossians 1:17, "He is before all things and in Him all things hold together." Acts 17:28, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." Colossians 1:19, "For God was pleased to have all of His fullness," all of it, "dwell in Him." Colossians 1:28, "We proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." That's how we get it. That's how we make it. That's how we get to the place where God has called us to go. Colossians 2:9 and 10, "For in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." And get this, "And you have been given fullness in Christ." Do you hear that? All of the fullness of the Almighty, eternal, creative God has been in Christ. And you, His dear child, have been given fullness. Not halfness, not three-quarterness, not 95%-ness. You have been given fullness. Where? Where? In Christ. That's where it's at. In Him. In Christ. A book I read this summer had a fabulous one-liner that I'll never forget. What was it again? No. It said, "The reason God is disappointed with us is not because we desire too much, but because we are satisfied with so little. We chase all these things in life thinking this will satisfy, that's what I should build my life on, here's what I'll tie my life to, and God says, why are you settling for such piddly stuff? I have called you to fullness in Christ. Fullness. And all of that is available for you, my child. The fullness that my life longs for, thirsts for, craves for, it is all found in Jesus. God created us to enjoy fullness. John 1:4, in Him was life. And that life was the light of man. Do you need that light this morning? Do you need the darkness to dispel? Do you need it? It's not found in the preacher. It's not found in the church. It's not found in the hymn book. It's not found in some experience. It's not even found in a good marriage. And I have one of the best on the earth. That kind of fullness is only found in Christ. Only. But that's where it's found. Listen to some of these things that flow out of Him to us. You need eternal life? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you need a brand new start today? 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You need freedom from guilt? Nobody's nodding their head this morning. Well, we all do. You know how that guilt can just kind of reach up and grab you and yank you down and hold you there? Listen to this. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You need permeating love to go through all the recesses of your heart and build that bedrock personal security that your heart longs for? Listen to this. Romans 8:39. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You need answers to your prayer? 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes. Where? In Christ. You need peace? Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You need supply? Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all of your needs according to His glorious riches. Where? In Christ Jesus. You need unity in your marriage, in your family, in the church? Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one, where? In Christ. Do you need victory over sin? 2 Corinthians 5:21, sometimes we think, oh, if I just grip my teeth and give it the old college try, I can beat this one. You try that long enough, you end up flat in your face again. After a while, we realize, I'm not going to make this by myself. How do I get victory over sin? 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of Christ. In Him. That's where we get our righteousness. That's where we get our strength. Listen to these summary verses. Ephesians 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's yours. 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. And 1 Corinthians 1:5, for in Him you have been enriched in every way. Now how many ways? Every way. Where? In Him. In Christ you have been enriched in every way. I told you it was going to be simple this morning. This can't get it any simpler than this. And God knew that we would need it this simple to sink in. Our victory, dear friends, our life, our joy, our peace, our wholeness, our confidence, everything we need for life and godliness is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. As I meditated on this and I was reading through the Gospels again, I came across that passage, which I memorized as a kid and which I've known for years, but it was like it sprung to life again. John chapter 15, where Jesus gives that wonderful analogy of the vine and the branches. Listen again to these words in light of what we've been sharing this morning. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And get this. Remain in me. In other words, stay there, Dave. Don't just come and suck up a bit and head off. Don't just come for your quick fix on Friday morning and then run for the rest of the week and wonder why you're so dry by Thursday night. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. He will. You don't have to grunt and groan. It's as natural as a branch just letting the life of the vine flow through it. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. You may say, well, I know some of you were wondering it before, some of you were bold enough to ask me, Pastor, how is it that you're a pastor and you're telling us at the end of the year that you're dry? How? What hope is there for us as regular Christians if you as this spiritual person can't get it together? Well, you know what? You know why I couldn't get it together? Because quite frankly, sometimes, that's what was happening to me last year. I was so busy doing things for God that I'd forgotten to spend time with God. So busy learning so I could give, but I wasn't spending enough time remaining, just staying with my Lord. And I tell you, dear friends, you can be in the ministry up to here and be 100 miles away from God. And I realized again, God wasn't calling me to be a pastor until He first of all was calling me to be His child, to sit on His lap and spend time with Him and drink in His love and celebrate the wonder of His care for me. And there in those quiet moments, there in those moments away from everybody else on the mountain, and since they're in the busyness of life, to take time to abide, to remain, to stay in Him. I've discovered that that channel, that flow of His love and His peace and His presence and His joy and His supply and everything else that we need, He doesn't shut it off. We shut it off when we walk away from Him. We shut it off when we're too busy. We shut it off. That's why He says over and over and over again, my children, remain, come, abide, come, stay, come, plug your life in, come, drink from my heart that which I have prepared for you. It's all in me, He says. Come, I will freely give it to you. But I don't throw it down. I ask you to come and wait to receive it. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. Climbing a physical mountain for me was an object lesson of what my heart needed to do. I wanted to scale that physical summit, but more than that, my heart has longed to scale the mountains of this life to be able to encounter and enjoy an intimacy with God. And just scanning your faces this morning, I can tell in your eyes that you have that same desire. You want to move up out of the lowlands. You want to push past the obstacles. You want to be able to somehow get rid of the pests and move on. And you want to press past the fatigue that pulls you back. You want to scale the heights. You want to go for all that God is calling you to, don't you? If your heart says yes this morning, then I have one message for you, and it's made up of two words. And those two words are? It's not in a shack on the top of a physical mountain. It's in Christ. You find that place, and you will find what your heart is longing for. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your patience with us. Thank you for the way that you care for us in our journey, our spiritual journey with you. And Lord, we're sorry that it takes us so long sometimes to learn the basics, and when we learn them, to have to relearn them again and again. But Lord Jesus, this morning we remember again that you have made it relatively simple for us to encounter you. Forgive us for trying to make it so complicated. We ask this morning, Lord, and I pray for my brothers and sisters as I pray for myself, that you would help us, enable us, fire us up to come to you if we never have before. And then to remain in you, to stay there, whatever that means. You know what it means for each person here. I pray, Lord, that each of us would wrestle through what that means for us, what it means for our schedule, for our priorities, for the way we spend our time, the way we spend our money, the way we spend our relationships, whatever, Lord, speak to us about what that means so that we can run in to you and find the safety, the security, the satisfaction, and the celebration that our hearts long for. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for calling us back home. In Jesus' name, amen.